We are on Daf Zayin on the base. This is a Gemara, which is again dealing mainly with Agadata. So we'll try and learn it quicker than we normally would. We're up to the Gemara, Dorash Bar Kapora. It's about 12 lines from the bottom, maybe a bit more actually. The first words on the is Ki Loi Lo Ilom. Dorash bar kapora, minoho milsa. Minoho milsa. Where do we know this matter from? The Omru Rabbona that Chazal have said, Havim asunim badin. Havim asunim badin. Havim asunim badin means one should deliberate in judgment. This, as we know, is the very first Mishnah in Masechtas Avos, where it says they would say three things, the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, one of them was, having masunim badin, one should deliberate in judgment. One, by the way, should point out that Masechtas Avos, which is where this is to be found, is not a set of Mishnayos which is written for Dayanim only. It's written for all of us, it's written for me as well, for you, for everybody. So why is the Mishnah teaching me, having masunim badin, you should deliberate in judgment? I'm not a judge, I'm not a dayan on a bezdin. Why is this relevant to me? So clearly the Mishnah is teaching me that we all are dayanim. We're all making decisions the whole time. We all have to make judgment, whether it's regard to others, our family, ourselves. And one should always deliberate in judgment. I'll tell you a little secret. Exactly 7 years ago, almost to the day actually, when Rav Kornfeld sent me to Gimel, sent our family to Gimel, and the offer came to maybe take up a position here in the Kehillah, and I wasn't sure whether it was the right thing, so I discussed it with Rav Kornfeld for a long time and Rav Davidovich, and then I went to my Rebbe in Bnei Brak, Rav Shlomo Zalman Ullman, and I said to him, I'm not making any decision without your bracha. So I discussed it with him, and he gave me the green light. So I said to him, when I left his house, I said, does the Rebbe have any advice for me? And he said to me, one thing, and that's the best advice, not just for Rav, for anybody, but he gave it to me before becoming Rav, and he said, yes, I have a piece of advice. Everything b'masinus, quoting this Mishnah, everything with deliberation. Don't make quick, rash decisions. Person is in a position of a dayan or a rov and he's making decisions that can affect the whole community or families. That's what he said to me. That's my piece of advice to you. Everything b'masinus. No quick snap decisions. Think it over, chew it over, sleep over it. Like I mentioned, this is not just for dayanim, it's a mishnah for all of us. Hevim masunim badin. So the question is, that the Gemara is asking is, where do we learn this from?
In the paper, sir.
So, of course, we're learning it, everything in the context of Dayanim. So at the moment, we are assuming that this is referring to Dayanim. So where do we learn from the Torah that Dayanim, when they make their judgment, have him asunim badin? So the Gemara says, a very interesting limud. Diksib, because it says, loisale b'malos. Loisale b'malos, which means do not go upstairs. This is a pasuk right to the end. It's the very last pasuk in Parshas Yisroi. And it says, as we well know, that the Mizbeach did not have steps. Rather, had a kevesh, which is a ramp. And the Torah says, Loisale al malos Mizbechi, do not go upstairs towards the Mizbeach. And then the Torah follows that up. That's the last pasuk in Yisroi. But that's followed up with the very first pasuk in Mishpatim. What does it say? V'somich lei, and there is a juxtapositioning to Ve'ele HaMishpatim. So, the Torah is clearly putting in one sentence, Ve'ele HaMishpatim, these are the Mishpatim, obviously that's referring to Dayanim, and that has just come off the back of the pasuk of Leisale Almalis. So, how do you see from there that you've got to be Masunim Badin? So look at Rashi. No, the truth is Rashi's going after. So look at, there is a Rashi, Masunim. Look at Masunim. Mesunim regilim bahamtana. One should get used to waiting. Don't paskin immediately. One should get used to waiting. Kedei la'ayin bo yofer. In order to ma'ayin into it properly, to investigate the subject properly, koidem shetachtechuhu, before you cut, meaning before you make your clear-cut decision, first you should give yourself time to look into it. First you should give the time to look into it. Says Rashi, b'maylois, b'chazoka u'b'merutza. What are we learning from stairs? When it says, do not go upstairs, do not go up a steps to the Mizbeach, b'merutza, running up. Now, not entirely clear why, when it says, don't go upstairs, why is that a reference to not running? I would have thought maybe it's easier to run up a kevesh than it is up a ramp. But either way, that's the limit. Therefore, the poskim do, however, point out, by the way, and I think this is obvious, that where you have something which doesn't need consideration, meaning, if somebody would come up to you and say, am I allowed to cook on Shabbos? Well, the principle of having a sunim madin obviously does not apply there. Because that's something obvious, that's something that's clear-cut. He's not asking about pikuach nefesh. Are you allowed to kill people? There's no dictate there of having masunim badin. Obviously, when it says having masunim badin, it's something that needs to be investigated. So then give yourself time to investigate. Don't assume that every shaila has to be paskened on the spot. That's what it's referring to. Those of you who sorry?
When we see something in the Gemara where they'll say, you know, and they right after this sugya in the Torah, there's no coincidences, there's another sugya, and therefore clearly the Torah was trying to teach us something, right? Isn't that like our life as well? I mean, we don't want to be mekubalim and start living in a fantasy world, but, you know, all of a sudden you're looking for an answer for something, and something out of the ordinary is what comes into your life, and you have to try to think to yourself, you can't do it on your own, you have to ask, but, you know, what's the message here? This is too much of a coincidence. This person shows up when you're right, when you're looking for an answer. Isn't it the same type of thinking process?
100%, 100%. There is a book, it may well be written by Rabbi Frand, you might correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't read the book, but I've just seen the title, and I love the title of the book. And the title of the book is Listen to Your Messages. I think it's written by Rabbi Sacha Frand, I may be mistaken. But Listen to Your Messages is exactly what Larry is saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending us messages the whole time. Just bumped into this person. I just saw this. I just read this. I just met him. I just. And we have to open our eyes and listen to our messages. Now, those of you who live in Ramat Bet Shemesh Aleph, some of the present people, at least three of you, might well know Rav Kirshenbaum. Rav Kirshenbaum is the Rav of Tanei Shmuel, which is opposite the Grot. So I once heard from him the following, a very, very, very beautiful message. Why are there no steps going up to the Mizbeach? So if you look in the Torah explains, Lo yisale al ma'alois mizbechi, why? Ki lo yisigole ervoscho. It says that it wouldn't be covered for the Mizbeach. If one has to go up a step, then in order to go from step to step, one has to widen one's legs, which would be a sign of disrespect for the Mizbeach. So therefore you go up a kevesh and you can take small, modest steps, and therefore no part of the guf has any chashash of being exposed to the Mizbeach. That's what it says in the Torah. So if that's the case, we need to ask ourselves a question. What's that got to do with being Mesunim Badin? Mesunim Badin, meaning, if we were to ask ourselves a question, why indeed we have to be Mesunim Badin? Have a Mesunim Badin. So, the Poshut Pshat is, because if you make a rash decision, you may make a mistake. You can make a mistake and say, oh, one second, had I only thought about it more, I would have considered it further, I would have looked at it differently, etc., etc. And because I paskin too quickly, therefore I made a mistake. So Rav Kirshenbaum added, and he said a very, very, very a wonderful interpretation. He said, that's true. But that's not the only reason. if somebody is asked a question which essentially needs thinking about, not like I said before, am I allowed to cook something on Shabbos? That does not to be not need to be thought about. But if someone asks a complicated question and it needs to be researched, and you think, no, I've got to answer on the spot. So really, there are two issues. One of them is a practical issue. Like we said before, you can make a mistake. I didn't give it proper attention, and therefore I forgot. Ah, of course, there's a Shulchan Aruch, and there's a Rambam, and there's a Gemara, and I forgot that. So I might make a mistake. But then he added, there's another issue as well. And that is not because you make a mistake. Maybe you won't make a mistake. But the very fact that you don't give it attention is itself a sign of disrespect for the Torah. Have you ever had a situation? I certainly have, and I'm sure you've had as well. And I think it's very disrespectful and it's very off-putting. Have you ever, for example, learned, let's say, the parasha, and you've come up with what you think is a really good question? I've got a difficult pasuk, I've got a difficult rashi, and you're really thinking about it and you can't come to an answer. So you meet your friend or you meet somebody and you say to me, no, I want to tell you I've got a good kasha. And before you've even finished the sentence, he's jumping down, you're saying, yeah, I've got three answers. It's very off-putting. It's very disrespectful, unless he happens to have heard the question and he knows, but respect the question. Think about the question. If you gobble up the answer before you've even thought about the question, then really, what's the message you're sending me? Yeah, your question is not really worthy of consideration. Yeah, the answer is this. Or the way they start off, oh, well, firstly, you know, as if to say, well, of course, there's a long string of answers and you haven't thought of any of them. That's very disrespectful. The respectful, dignified response is, that's a very good question and I need to think about it. Then, of course, you're happy to think about it and I give an answer. So he explained, therefore, of Kirshenbaum, that if you're not Mesunim Badin, not only is there a practical issue that you might make a mistake, but there's also a Hashkafic issue that itself is a sign of disrespect. You're not giving Torah, Hakdosha, the respect it deserves. If somebody's asked me a question, this is not just he's asking about a recipe, he's not just asking what I think about the weather. He's asking about halacha, about the Torah. This needs consideration. So even if I don't make a mistake, I happen to have mazel and I hit the nail on the head and I got the right answer. The fact that you didn't consider it is itself a sign of disrespect for the Torah. So he therefore explained very beautifully, that's why we learn it from where? Don't walk up steps on Mizbeach, because the Torah says if you walk up steps on the Mizbeach, that is a sign of disrespect for the Mizbeach. It's because the goof might be exposed, and that's a lack of kovod to the Mizbeach. And he says, therefore, if you're learning the principle of having Mesunim Badin from there, so you see it's not just a practical issue, you could make a mistake, but like walking up the Mizbeach with steps, it's a lack of respect. It's a lack of respect.
Don't you also find that when you make quick decisions, they're driven by emotions versus real calculation?
And that's why it's a lack of respect, right? Because you're just saying it's all about me. And this is where I feel. This way, 1 second, look at it. What does the Torah want? I remember I once had a shiur many, 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 many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, from a big Talmud Chacham in England. And he finished his shiur, and there were still, let's say, a few minutes left until, I think it was Mincha or Maariv after the shiur. So he looked at his watch and he said, I see there's a couple of minutes left. So you know what? Let me just leave you off with a question, nothing to do with what I've been discussing. There's a question I've had, he said, for 20 years on Chumash Rashi. So he proceeded to tell us this question, which has been bothering him for 20 years, a wonderful question on a certain Rashi, I don't remember what it was. And he said, listen, if anybody's got an answer, I'd love to hear. But then he added in a very, very modest way. And he said, but you'll excuse me. If it's an answer that just dropped into your head this second, then I don't want to hear it. He said, I've had this question for 20 years. I've researched it high and low. I've spoken to Talmidei Chachamim. You know, if it's just an answer that sort of just plopped into your head, that's not the answer I'm looking for. Which is, again, it's the same principle. You know, you're talking about Talmud Chacham over here. He's researched the Indian, and then before he's even finished the question, yeah, I've got an answer. No, respect the question, respect the questioner, respect the topic, look into it, and then if you come back with an answer, he'll be thrilled to hear. But by not doing so, it's a lack of kavod, and that's why we're learning it from the steps of the Mizbeah.
You know, even in business, when I talk to people and they give me a problem, when you shoot something from the hip, it doesn't have quality to it. They're much more happy if you say, listen, it's a great problem. Give me a couple of days. I'll get back to you. I want to talk to my team about it. I want to mull it over. It makes them feel important. It makes them feel like this guy is really going to spend time to think about an answer, not just, you know, here's the law or here's the whatever.
I'm part of a forum of Rabbonim. We meet once a week on Thursdays in Yerushalayim. And we hear lectures on all different types of topics. A few weeks ago, we heard a lecture from a top psychologist. And he was talking to Rabbonim how Rabbonim are not psychologists, but they sometimes our fields overlap. And he said to us the following. He said, when somebody comes to you, an individual or a couple, and they present the issue, he said, as a general rule, with almost no exception, when they begin pouring out their heart and telling you their issues, if you think that within a minute or two, oh, yeah, right, I've worked it out, I've solved it, and I want to respond, you should know invariably that answer is the wrong answer. It's a very, very important principle. Meaning the temptation is that before, I've got it all worked out, all you've got to do is A, B, C, bing, bang, bing, I've got it all worked. Wow, genius. Let them speak it out. First, you have to realize that when somebody comes to pour their heart out, they're not always necessarily even looking for a solution. They just want to pour their heart out. So let them talk. But even if they are looking for a solution, invariably, like you said before, Larry, the first answer that pops into your head is just all about me. My emotion, it's my way of looking at it. Let them talk. Let me think what's good for them, etc., 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 etc. So Kol Shekin, we're talking about Torah HaKadosh, someone asks a shayla which needs consideration. Then it needs to be considered. Kol Shekin, if you don't know. Somebody once came to the very great Ponovitcherov. Ponovitcherov. I built up Ponovitch and all of Torah and Bnei Brak. And he said, I'm not sure. I've been offered a position to become a Rav. And I'd like to seek advice. Do you think I should take it? So the Ponovitch Rav said to him in his great genius, he said, "Ooh, very hard, Shaila. Very, very hard question. In fact, it's such a hard question. I need to think about it a bit. In the meanwhile, whilst I think about it, do me a favor. Just step into this room and say to yourself 1,000 times, I do not know. I do not know. I don't know. I don't know." Okay. So he went into this room and he sits there practicing to himself, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. After half an hour, he comes out. He says to the Ponovitcherov, okay, I've just said 1,000 times to myself, I don't know. He says, okay, now you can become a Rav.
It's amazing how everything in life boils down to midos. Everything.
Derech Eretz Kodma L'Torah. That's what the Ponovitcherov was teaching this Talmud. That's the number one qualification to become a Rav or a Pesach or a Dayan is you have to know. Sometimes you don't know. But if a Dayan thinks he has to know every question, has to answer immediately on the spot, then, like we said, number one, he's prone to making a mistake. And number two, it's a lack of respect for the Torah. Okay, let's keep on going. Omar Rabbi Elazar. This is in similar vein. Omar Abeleza, Minayin Ledayon Shaloi Yifsa Al Roshe Am Kodesh. How do we know that a Dayon, literally translated, should not step on the heads of the holy nation? What does that mean, not step on their heads? Meaning, not to mistreat them. Paskin their shailas with respect. Shenema, once again, so it's a similar theme. Before we were talking about judging with deliberation, and now we're talking about the way the psak is presented. Meaning, rather, you walk up gently, albeit firmly. That's the way the psak has to be issued, rather than just trampling all over their heads. Now, Asher Tosim. How does that posuk continue? It says, Ve'ela ha-mishpatim asher tosim lifneihem. So if we translate that phrase, these are the laws that you shall place in front of them. L'chaire, that's a strange phrase. We would have said, you don't place laws, you teach them. Should have said, Ve'ela mishpatim, these are the laws that you should teach Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Asher telamdem, quote unquote, mi boyale, question mark. Surely it should have said, not Asher tossim, that you place in front of them. Should have said, these are the laws that you teach. You can't place a law. A law is not a tangible object. So if it says Asher tossim lifneim, it sounds like we're referring to some tangible object which you can place, you can put down. What is this referring to? Says the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yirmiya, or the Tamer of Chiyah Baba, Eilu Klei Hadayonin. You're right. This is a reference to the kelim, the apparatus, the equipment of the dayanim. It's not talking about the laws. The laws are not something you can place. You can't place a law. It's on a tangible object. But his kelim, when a dayan comes to Bezin, he has certain equipment, which equipment we're going to see in a moment. So that's what's being referred to, or at least hinted to in this pasuk. Asher tosin, that you place, meaning when you come to Bez, then you have to have some equipment there that you place on the table. Says Rashi, Klei hadayonim, d'shaycha b'hu sima. It is appropriate with regard to kelim to use the word sima, which is placing, dovor hametaltel, a movable object. If you're talking about a law, then it's not shaykh to talk about sima, asher tosim. Can't place a law. But a movable object you can place, and that's what's being referred to. So which particular apparatus are we talking about? Says the Gemara, Rav Huna. He have a nofik ladina. When Rav Huna used to go out to the Beis Din to judge, Omar Hochi, he used to say the following. He used to say, Afiku li ma'ani chanusoi. Makel v'ritzual. He used to say, I'm going now to the Beis Din, so I need my equipment. Which equipment would he need? So he said four things. Ma'ani, what's ma'ani? I think ma'ani is his cloak. Is that how they translate it there, Rabbi Yosef?
The tools of his trade.
Yeah, but before that, on the next line, Afikuli ma'ani chanutoi. What's ma'ani?
That is precisely that. That's how
it's right, so that's what it is. Sorry, quite right. Ma'ani chanutoi. I need the tools of my trade, and here they are, four things. Ma'ani is a kli, the tool. Chanutoi of my trade. Makel, uretsua, v'shufra, v'sandala. So makel is a stick, uretsua is a whip, v'shofar is obviously a shofar, v'sandala is a shoe. That is what you find in a dayan's toolbox. Now, what are those four things? So look at Rashi. Ritzua, says Rashi, Lamalkus. A ritzua is a whip. And therefore, if I end up going to Beis Din today and we have to administer Malkus, so I need to have the ritzua. So what's a makel for? A stick? Says Rashi, Lamakus Mardus. What's Makus Mardus? Malkus Midrabonum. Not as a punishment. Sometimes we know we have a famous principle of Koifin oisei, adshe yoyma reitze ani. Beis Din would have to force somebody to, sometimes even at the point of whipping him, beating him until he does the mitzvahs. That's not there as a punishment. If somebody refuses to shake lulav, then the Beis Din will give him makas mardus, not as an oinish, but rather to force him to do so. That's not done with a ritzua, rather that's done with a makil, with a stick. So that's what Rashi is saying. Makel makas mardus. Mardus means midrabanon. For the makas of midrabanon, ad sheyachzor boy, until such point that he rescinds, he retracts. He refuses to shake lulav. The famous Gemara and Rambam that talks about somebody who refuses to divorce his wife, even though halachic requirement says he has to. So we will give him malchus, but this is not the same malchus with a ratzua, which is an oinish. If somebody eats nevela, then he gets 39 malchus. If somebody refuses to put on tefillin, he doesn't get 39 malchus. How many does he get? As many as it takes in order to convince him to put on his tefillin. Says Rashi, shofar. What's a shofar for? When do you need a shofar? Leshamta v'nidui. When you need to put somebody into a nidui, what's a nidui? Excommunication. So as we know, Bezin have the kriach to do that under some circumstances. So the way that the nidui, or we sometimes call it a cherem, would be declared would be through a shofar. And that's why it's a Rav Huna, when he's leaving his house in the morning, and he knows he has to go to Bezin. Well, he doesn't know what he's got lined up in that day in the Bezin. So maybe I'm going to end up needing a shofar to put somebody into excommunication. And finally, sandal. Sandal is a shoe. Now, why on earth would a dayan need a shoe? Says Rashi, lechalitza. Lechalitza. So therefore, when the Torah says, Ela mishpatim asher tosim lifnehem, these are the laws that you should place. It's not referring to the law, but rather the kalim, the various equipment. What are they? The whip, the stick, the shofar, and the shoe.
How exactly would this work? The Bezin's going to knock on your door. We say, we hear you. If you're refusing to put on tefillin, they're going to arrest him and then mug him out. Because, like, how would that whole thing come down?
100%. You just said it. Shliach Bezdin would arrive at your door. We have heard you haven't put on tefillin. Put on tefillin or what else? We have to give you makas.
This would happen? This was real?
Absolutely. Says the Gemara, Va'atzave es shreifteichem bo'isahi. Again, we're continuing our theme. This is a pasuk we found in Parshas Devarim. If you remember in Parshas Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu was recounting various events that happened to Klal, so it includes also his whole encounter with Yisro, when Yisro basically rearranged the whole judicial system, the judges, etc., etc. I was mitzaveh, says Moshe Rabbeinu, literally translated, I commanded the judges. But the word commanded sometimes has a different connotation as well. And what is that? Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Keneged Makel Viratsua. It is with regard to the makel and the ritzua, which is, as we just said, used for either malchus or machus maridus, tehei zoriz. Now, what does zoriz mean? Normally, we translate the word zoriz as in zrizus, alacrity. But Rabbi Yosef, I'm sure in Art Scroll, they do not translate it like that here.
Meticulous.
Meticulous, meaning when you're about to beat somebody up, sometimes almost up to the point of death, one has to be very meticulous. One has to be very, very careful. But at tzave, the word tzave doesn't just mean a commandment, as Rashi is about to point out. It also means be careful. Look at Rashi. But at tzave, kol tzavo, wherever it says the loshon of tzavo of instruction, loshon zeros. Ooh. Tzav doesn't just mean command, but it also has that connotation of be careful, be meticulous. So Tanya's over Bryson, Kedushin, Kol Malkim, Shenemar, Tzav, quote unquote, wherever it says, Tzav, Enoi, Elo, Loshen, Zeros. It is only referring to a context of being careful and meticulous. And therefore, the Alma Zires. So what over here is being referred to? What in particular must a judge be meticulous with? Al-hamakal v'ala ratzua, with the stick and the whip, which, as we just said, was either used as a punishment or to get people to do mitzvahs. Shahoyu Matilin A Shayu Matilin Aimo Alatsibur Lashem Shamayim. Their function was to put Aimo, what does Aimo mean? Fear on the Tzibur, but Hashem Shamayim. So therefore, when you see in the street the Dayan walking around with his whip and his stick, the purpose of that was it was supposed to instill fear into Klal Yisrael. Like we said before, if you know that if you don't put on tefillin today, you don't shake lulav today, you don't blow a shofar, you're going to have this stick beating you up until you consent to do the mitzvah, then that will instill Eimo in the Tzibur. But Rashi added those two words at the end, it's got to be done, Hashem Shamayim. So therefore, even though the Dayonim are given the mandate on occasion to administer violence, as it were, corporal punishment, therefore the Torah needs to add, Va'atzaveh, but be very careful. Don't just be, Chas V'Shalom, trigger happy, oh, once I've got this authority in my hands, I can just administer it freely. No, no, no. Va'atzaveh, it's got to be done very carefully.
When did this stop?
When we lost the Koyach of Beis Din after the in the second Golus. Okay, we'll have to
hold. So if you put three, so if you put three Dayanim today, you can't do this again. You can't put three Dayanim today and say, well, this guy's not putting on tefillin, they're gonna send another to Makas.
No, there are some halachas that do require a Beis Din, Adayei Mazeh, that we do have.
Like an aguna, you can force a guy physically to give his wife a...
We all know we can do Hataras Nedorim with a Beis Din, etc., etc. So Beis Din certainly has a koyach, but to issue punishments, we do not have nowadays. Okay, we're going to hold it over here, and Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach continue tomorrow. Tell me, Moshe Zarek, did you set over the Da'atayr on Friday night?
Indeed.
Yeah, it went down okay?
Yeah, very good.
Okay, very good. Reb Nachum, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, it's very dark there, Mishkafayim, apparently.
It's dark. It's a dark day.
Okay, everything okay?
Baruch Hashem, getting better, yeah.
Okay, you should feel well, Mr. Hashem. Be well, everybody.
Amen. Amen. Amen.